The original ending to Great Expectations. In the third volume of his biography of Dickens, published 13 years after Great Expectations, John Forster revealed that the novel's ending, as it had appeared in print, was in fact not its original one. The author had been persuaded by his friend Edward Bulwer-Lytton, a novelist and critic, to alter the final scene while the text was still in proofs, granting Pip a slightly happier, though certainly still ambiguous, reunion with Estella. Dickens wrote to Forster in July 1861, "You will be surprised to hear that I have changed the end of Great Expectations from and after Pip's return to Joe's, and finding his little likeness there, Bulwer, who has been, as I think you know, extraordinarily taken by the book, so strongly urged it upon me, after reading the proofs, and supported his view with such good reasons, that I resolved to make the change. I have put in as pretty a little piece of writing as I could, and I have no doubt the story will be more acceptable through the alteration." Forster supplied Dickens' original ending in a footnote, explaining by way of preface that what we know as the final chapter break in Great Expectations was absent. The paragraph describing Herbert's business led directly to that regarding the last time Pip had seen Joe, and that the 8 years since Pip and Joe had met were shortened from 11 years in the first version. Inadvertently, Forster created confusion by reversing those numbers. It is the published text that reads 11 years. The original ending was printed in Forster's note as a single paragraph, but as Edgar Rosenberg points out in his article, Last Words on Great Expectations, it appears as 4 paragraphs in the proofs, a more reliable indicator of Dickens' intent before he changed the text altogether. Pip's line, "Oh no, I think not, Biddy," initially read, "I am sure and certain, Biddy," and the scene continued as follows. "It was 2 years more before I saw herself. I had heard of her as leading a most unhappy life, and as being separated from her husband, who had used her with great cruelty, and who had become renowned as a compound of pride, brutality, and meanness. I had heard of the death of her husband from an accident consequent on ill-treating a horse, and of her being married again to a Shropshire doctor, who, against his interest, had once very manfully interposed on an occasion when he was in professional attendance on Mr. Drummle, and had witnessed some outrageous treatment of her. I had heard that the Shropshire doctor was not rich, and that they lived on her own personal fortune. I was in England again, in London, and walking along Piccadilly with little Pip, when a servant came running after me to ask would I step back to a lady in a carriage who wished to speak to me. It was a little pony carriage which the lady was driving, and the lady and I looked sadly enough on one another. 'I am greatly changed, I know, but I thought you would like to shake hands with Estella too, Pip. Lift up that pretty child, and let me kiss it.' She supposed the child, I think, to be my child. I was very glad afterwards to have had the interview, for in her face and in her voice and in her touch, she gave me the assurance that suffering had been stronger than Miss Havisham's teaching, and had given her a heart to understand what my heart used to be."